This is episode number 506 with number one New York Times bestselling author and YouTube sensation, Lily Singh.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Pablo Picasso said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is staying an artist when you grow up." Pumped for our episode today with the one and only Lily Singh, who is a Canadian YouTube personality, vlogger, comedian, writer, actress, and number one New York Times bestselling author. She is better known by her YouTube username, Superwoman. Since beginning her channel in 2010, her videos have received almost 2 billion views, and she reached 11 million YouTube subscribers in January of 2017. And her channel is currently in one of the top 100 most subscribed channels on YouTube. And just recently, she was ranked first on the 2017 Forbes Top 100 Influencer list in the entertainment category. This girl is a boss in every sense of the word, and I'm super pumped to have her here in studio to talk about everything. Some of the things we cover are how Lily overcame severe depression in college and what she did to overcome that, why being obsessed with excellence is actually a good thing, why it's okay to be the dumbest person on your team, what Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, told Lily about sharing your money, why YouTube is the best platform for actors to be making content on, and so much more. I asked Lily at the start, I said, I want this to be the best interview you've ever done and for you to share things that you've never shared before, which I knew would be challenging because she shares so much about her life on her YouTube channel. And at the end, she actually said that she shared some new things and that it was one of the best she'd ever done. So I'm super pumped. I think you're going to get a lot out of this. Before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to our review of the week. This is from Rigo B, who said, "I'm an immigrant. I came to this country with so many dreams, and this podcast helps me every day to push harder to accomplish my dreams. Thank you, Lewis, for everything you do." So Rigo B, thank you for being the review of the week. And if you guys want a shot of being the fan and review of the week, then just go to the podcast app or go to iTunes.com/greatness and leave a review over on iTunes right now.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
All right, guys, a big thank you again to our sponsors, and I am so pumped about this one. Lily Singh, again, blew me away. So inspiring, so captivating, and she took over this interview with just such passion, inspiration, and wisdom. You're going to learn a ton, so make sure to share this out with your friends. lewishouse.com/506. Tag me at Lewis Howes on Instagram and Twitter and social media. Make sure to tag Superwoman as well, Lily Singh, to let her know what you thought while you're listening. So without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Superwoman, Lily Singh. Welcome, everyone, back to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest today. Lily Singh is in the house.
I am in the house. Thank you for having me.
I am pumped. We have a mutual friend, Humble the Poet.
Shout out to Humble the Poet.
Told me I had to get you on. I started researching more about you. Mm-hmm. I'd heard about you before. I'd seen photos of you in Lindsay Sterling and Cassie Hose.
And
Justine, they're always posting about you. So I was like, I got to meet this girl.
The sisterhood of YouTube.
That's
for
it,
sure.
Right? The unicorns.
The whatever. Unicorns.
Yeah, yes.
I know. They came to my premiere dressed as unicorns.
I saw that.
Actually.
I was like, that's pretty cool.
That was the first time where I was like, do I have friends? I think I might have friends.
Those are like super friends.
Yeah,
to do
exactly.
That.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I thought I would start out. I asked Humble, what's the thing that Lily is known for you that maybe most people don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And he said she's got superhuman strength.
Yeah.
Like literally super strong. She can lift things.
When you said strength, I thought you meant like mentally strong. And I was
that's so sweet. Yeah.
But the physically strong, I'm like even more flattered.
So here's what he said. Yeah. He said we need to do an arm wrestling contest.
Ooh, okay.
And he said you'd be surprised.
Well, you will probably win, but I think you'll be surprised again at how much.
I will be surprised.
Am I allowed to hold this?
Hold whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Ready?
She's like bringing the grip around.
Okay.
She's got
I'm stronger in my legs usually, but I'm already making excuses. So here we go. Ready?
On you.
Yeah, I go.
Oh, she's pretty
You're
good.
Letting me win. Okay, but you see, there was a little resistance there.
There was a little
right?
bit of strength. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Growing up, I was so independent, and I remember when my family was moving, I refused to let anyone help me move things. So I was like, I'm going to lift my TV and take it downstairs, and I'm going to move this dresser. And so I think I was so stubborn that really I just forced my body to keep up
Willed
with my
it.
Mental stubbornness.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Maybe Humble's just a little weaker. And so,
to be fair, Humble is not the
tidier.
Most physically strong person.
Yeah.
I feel
he's an artist.
Yeah,
right.
He's strong in penmanship.
He's great.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. Super strong mentally and physically. You've got a book called How to Be a Boss: A Guide to Conquering Life. Make sure you guys pick this up.
Thanks.
And it is very inspiring. You wrote it entirely yourself. A lot of great lessons of things you've learned from everything you've been through in your life, from personal to family to health to relationships to business. I think you just posted yesterday, you're the number one influencer in the world on Forbes. What did Forbes rank you as? Like number one
YouTuber influencer? They have a top influencer list. And
yes.
So in the entertainment category, I was number one.
Entertainment. Yep. Number one entertainment influencer in the world.
I guess so. Yes. Actually, I'm not going to be questionable about it. I'm going to own it. Yes.
Boss.
Correct. I posted this yesterday saying how.
I saw that.
Yeah,
you're
part
like,
of it.
I didn't want to share this, but then
I'm trying to
do.
Get better at that, not being, you know, wary of my accomplishments.
Promoting
and being like,
your
no,
accomplishments.
Yes,
I
exactly.
think there's it's an art form. It's a dance on how we acknowledge it, right?
And someone we both look up to that we have in common is Dwayne Johnson, who
yes.
I learned from. It's okay to promote your accomplishments because
Absolutely.
He's such a great guy and he works so hard.
Yeah. Well, I've never met him yet, but his quote is on my wall.
Yes.
So I've been priming my space for him to sit right in this place.
I'll put in a great word.
Yes, for sure. But I think it's really cool that you're putting yourself out there and you're acknowledging it, because I think if you don't acknowledge these certain things, not saying you have to share it out on social media, but if you're not doing it, then I think you're not acknowledging how great of a person you are and what you're up to in the world. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm curious. So many great lessons in the book. So many things you've accomplished. What's the greatest lesson you've ever learned?
Ooh, the greatest lesson I've ever learned. I think something I struggled a lot within my life was, you know, when I decided to make YouTube videos, I came out of a very dark period in my life, and that was at the end of university. And prior to that
university moment, in Canada is
in Canada.
High school in the U.S.? No. What age? What,
is college in the
what,
U.S.?
What
so
age
So I
is
was
that?
Like...
Because it's very different.
Early 20s or 19s. Okay. 19s, 20s, something like that. Well, it's a college. That's college for
well,
you.
Well, college and university is kind of the same thing here. It's like when you graduate high school, then you go to college
okay,
or university.
So for us, it's you either go to college or university as well, but university is 4 years as well.
Got it.
University. I was at York University getting a psychology degree.
Yes.
And up until that point in my life, I don't know if it was just the culture I grew up in or the other family members I had that were walking a path. I really did genuinely believe that life was very linear. I thought you're going to go to university and then you're going to get a job and then you're going to get married and then you're going to have kids. Was everyone around me, that's what they did. And I didn't see life as this fluid thing that you could create your own path with and do whatever you want. I was just like, this is the way life is. And one of the reasons was because of school. I really do believe in education, but in school you learn certain things. You learn subjects and then you learn science and then you learn a whole bunch of things and it's very by the book. Psychology, one of my biggest issues was I'd read this whole chapter about a theory and the last sentence was, but this might not be true. And I was like, oh, okay,
there's no facts.
You're killing me here, Freud. You're killing me. I need, yeah. So one of the hardest lessons I've learned in my life is that you don't actually learn a lot about yourself and what will drive you as a human from school, unfortunately. I don't feel that way. You know, when I was, you learn about time management, maybe.
Yeah.
Writing skills, maybe. But when I went through depression my last year of university, I was like, nothing I've learned in school has prepared me for this. Nothing I learned in school told me that I had to work hard at being happy. And no assignment I've ever done made me work at improving myself. Mm-hmm. And so one of the hardest lessons I've learned was everything takes work, not just your school assignments, not just your exams, not just the job you want or the job interview you want to ace. It's working on your mental health, working on your happiness, working on what is it I actually want to do and work for and what are my values and what are my beliefs. You need to work on those things.
Yeah.
And it sounds silly to say, but that's not common sense, I feel, when you're growing up. You literally think you're supposed to have those things.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have happiness. You're supposed to have good values. You're supposed to, no, how? Where do these things come from? You have to work on them. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what I preach about in this book.
Yeah. And there's no class in school that taught us about how to have inner peace.
Yes.
Or how to love ourselves.
Or if that even existed.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is what you do. And, you know, I guess our parents are supposed to do that. But sometimes they don't do the best job or they're doing their best.
Or sometimes maybe they don't even know.
Exactly.
Because they were never afforded those opportunities to ever learn about their inner peace.
And if they're stressed out and depressed or they're going through challenges, then you're modeling what you see.
100%.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's really cool that you're talking about how to love yourself.
Yes.
And acknowledge your accomplishments.
Yes, thank you. I do believe it's a crucial step. And I think when I talk about it, I know people in their head, they're like, okay, what is this Tumblr quote time? Like, love yourself.
Right.
But really, once I start to love myself, everything else kind of fell into place in my life.
Yeah. Why do you think you were going down depression last year?
There was a few things. I think one was that, you know, when I was younger, I used to be really creative. I used to be the middle of the dance floor at family parties, always, I want to bake a cool cake. I want to do this dance performance. I want to write a poem. And then the school system or my family, whatever, convinced me that it's time to grow up. Mm. You now need to pick a job and pick a major. I remember going into university and them saying, pick a major now that you want to do for 4 years because that's going to now dictate whatever job you get.
Life.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have no idea what I want to do. And so I was forced into this mindset of, now's the time to figure it out. There's no more messing around and playing around and you can't do these creative things. And so I think that was one major reason. You know, I was doing something I didn't enjoy. I was going to lectures for 3 hours I hated and I wasn't interested in. And I had a lot of trust issues with my friends as well. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I ran into a lot of issues with my friends because growing up, I've always had major trust issues. I don't know what it is, if it's just like the sexism naturally embedded into the culture I grew up in, but I had a hard time trusting guys.
Mm.
I had a hard time trusting my friends when it came to guys I knew as well. And so like I had a lot of just unresolved issues in my brain. They all boiled into that last year of university, the pressure of exams and figure out your life. And now you got to do this. And I just was like, I'm done. I can't do this.
Wow.
And I kind of shut down.
Wow. Okay. Who was the person that you were in a relationship the most that gave you the most pain?
Huh. The person I was in a relationship with the most that gave me the most pain, I would
or the
say.
The experience.
You know what? I think, and this is going to get real deep. I think there's an obvious answer, which is going to be the friends I had a falling out with. But I think that's kind of a scapegoat for the real issue. There is two. One is that my parents are the best people on the planet to me. But prior to me going through that really dark time period, we never really had an open relationship. Like, I wouldn't talk to them about a lot of things. Mm. They wouldn't really talk to me. And not because we didn't care. We just didn't know how to. Yeah. You know, we didn't talk about a lot of things growing up. It was just, you're the parents, you provide for me, and you care for me and love me. But if I have a problem at school, you're probably not the person I'm going to talk to about
it.
And so I would say that lack of openness probably caused me a lot of pain.
With your parents.
Yes. Mm. But also the person that caused me the most, it was myself.
Yeah.
The old me that didn't believe in myself and didn't think I deserved to be loved and just accepted crap in life, that version of myself caused me the most pain, to be honest. That version does not exist anymore. I actually do care about myself as a person and value my happiness. And the greatest thing that came from me overcoming that dark period was a big way I overcame it was talking to my mom.
Really?
And so I always tell people one of the greatest things that happened in my life was depression, because my relationship with my parents now is amazing. And I'll never forget that day I went home and I just started crying. And for the first time ever, my mom was like, "We're going to talk." And I was like,
"Wow,
what?" I think actually what happened was, oh my God, you're already getting stuff out of me that I haven't talked about. I was in my car. I got home. I was in my car and I remember having just the worst day ever. Inside, not to anybody else, but inside, the worst day ever. And I was parked on my driveway and I just remember crying in my car. And then I didn't realize that my mom pulled up and she had seen, I guess. And so when I got inside, she's like, "We're going to talk." And the thing is, like, so many people had pulled up to my house and she was the only one that noticed. And so we had this conversation and I just spilled my heart out to her, telling her everything that was bothering me. And since then, we've just had such a great line of communication.
How old were you then?
Ugh, I'm so bad with ages. This was a university, so 20-something. Yeah, exactly.
Or just the last year.
The last year, sorry. The last year of university, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you opened up, you became more vulnerable to her? Is this what it sounds like?
And kind of shared all this. Vice versa. She also, I mean, since that day, my mom has told me so many things about her life that really explain who she is as a person that I don't think she's told anyone.
Right.
I really value our relationship. She really confides in me and tells me things, like her deepest, darkest fears, and that's really special.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
It creates the ultimate bond, the ultimate connection, and the ultimate level of trust.
100%.
And level of just acceptance,
right?
When you start to reveal certain things to other people and they reveal to you, it's like you start to understand and accept.
100%, because we can always try our best to put ourselves in other people's shoes, but that's, at the end of the day, just a figure of speech.
Yeah.
To actually put yourself in someone else's shoes is to know their experiences and what they've gone through. And so, you know, to your point of our parents are sometimes doing the best they can.
Yeah.
When I learned so many things about my mom that I've never known before, I thought, wow, she's actually going above and beyond to what she has experienced in life, which was, she's gone through some things, man. And she did her best. And I think I turned out all right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number one influencer in the world.
You know, mom, not too shabby. Hi, mom.
What would you say, who was the most influential person for you, your mom or your dad?
I'm going to have to go with my, it's kind of twofold, but my first answer would be my mom, just because I think I've spent more time with my mom and I'm a little bit, I think we have more in-depth conversations, me and my mom. And she's gone through a lot of adversity as well. I think, I don't want to come across as if my entire upbringing was completely sexist. No, that would be a lie. That would be me exaggerating. But, you know, the South Asian community, the one I grew up in, does have levels of sexism embedded into it. And so when you contrast my mom and dad, my mom definitely had to face more adversity when it comes to what was expected of her and what she had to sacrifice and things she had to do. And so I think, especially being a woman in entertainment, I relate to that and I see that and I know that I'm so outspoken because she taught me how to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to business, though, a lot of things I've learned about business is through my dad.
Really?
My dad is a great businessman. He's great at speaking to people. And I worked with our family business for a long time. And so
what's
I think
the family business?
So he controls a territory of gas stations in Toronto. And I used to work as a cashier in one of them. So I used to kind of work for my dad for a little bit. And I used to see how he would assign certain goals to people and how he'd bring the team together. And I think a lot of those things I've learned and tried to implement in my own life as well.
One of the things that our mutual friend Humble told me about, I was like, what's something that really inspires you about Lily? He goes, her level of work ethic and hustle, whether she's working fast food or some job she hates or putting together furniture, is like the same level of energy and passion and hustle of across everything you do in life.
Right.
He said he's really like inspired by that. Why, where does that come from and why do you do that?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know where it comes from. Part of me thinks that, and this is me being really honest, I think it's a great pro and a strength, but often at times it's also a really big con.
Why?
In my life. I'll give you a prime example. The other day we threw a barbecue for when someone on my team got engaged. He's sitting right over there. Mm-hmm. And I threw a barbecue and I was like, all right, pretty good. Simple barbecue. Get some stuff for the barbecue. And then barbecue. Great. Then I'm like, I should do a fruit plate. And I was FaceTiming Humble. And this is why I know he said this too, because I was FaceTiming Humble. And I was cutting strawberries into stars and balling melons to make them look like flowers. And he was just looking at me and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, why are you putting this much effort into this fruit bowl? And it did not even occur to me. I was like, why wouldn't I spend 5 hours on this fruit bowl? What do you mean?
5 hours.
And I think it's just that I like to challenge myself. And when I do anything, I treat it as if it is the most important thing. Mm. And that's great because then I get to do amazing things like this that I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah.
But then also I spend 5 hours making a fruit bowl. So it's kind of problematic.
You're making your bed for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's it's. I haven't got that gotten there yet. But it's, I don't know. There's something in me that's just obsessed with improving and productivity all the time. And when people ask me, how do you do that? Don't you get tired? The answer is, I don't know. I don't get tired. I get tired of doing a lot of things, but I don't get tired of making this one thing the best it could be.
You obsess over it.
I obsess.
Do you think there's something underneath it? Like, what if you didn't have the perfect fruit bowl?
Then I mean, what? It wasn't perfect. The kiwis were kind of whack.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll say that. Oh. I think it's just we have X amount of energy in a day. And if I'm going to spend that energy anyways, why not just spend it on doing something really well? It really bothers me if I just do... Like, for here's an example. If I take a break, I usually watch a TV show. Mm-hmm. And in my brain, it's not just me, oh, I'm going to do nothing and watch a TV show. In my brain, it is no. You are going to get inspired, but you have to proactively watch this TV show now so you can get
it's
inspired.
Like homework. It's not relaxing.
And I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with productivity at every level and being the best I can be and extracting the best I can out of everything. Mm. And it's obsessive.
Who do you want to be?
Who do I want to be? I want to be... I don't want to fill anyone's void. You know, I think Humble and I learned this when we were in Italy at the honor of talking to Pharrell. And he said something that really, really impacted me when Humble was asking him. Humble said something like, I want to fill the Andre 3000 void. You know, that's what I want my music to be. And Pharrell was like, you should fill the Humble the Poet void.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh! Snap. I mean, Humble talk about that all the time. And that got me thinking where I don't want to fill the, I don't want people to be like, oh yeah, you could be the next Mindy Kaling. You know, they're just saying that because I'm also a brown girl. I don't want people to be like, yeah, you could be Amy. No, I want to fill the Lily Singh void. I want to be the best version of myself that gives me goosebumps. You know, I want to make little Lily get goosebumps when she looks at my success. That's what I want to be.
I love the dedication that you had. I'm just going to read it.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the person I was 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I told you to keep going. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of the Matthew McConaughey speech.
Oh, yeah?
Did you remember seeing his speech? Was the Oscar or the Oscar where he was like, my inspiration is myself 3 years from now and like chasing that guy who's going to achieve those things that I want to achieve. And it's like, what do I need to do now that's going to make that happen? Mm-hmm. And like always chasing that myself, not someone else.
Right.
So I think it's cool that you kind of dedicated to that.
Yeah, that I was thinking long and hard about the dedication. I'm like, of course I want to dedicate to my mom. Of course, there's all these people. I put them all in the acknowledgements. I'm like, cut the.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
BS. The person's actually dedicated to that actually got me here
inspires
is
me.
The person that was like, I feel like crap, I'm still gonna get up tomorrow. That person
that inspires me. I just finished my book, my next book, and I might have to change my dedication.
Really?
And give you the props for the inspiration. Not saying the same thing, but do it in my own way.
You don't got to give me any props for the inspiration.
Yeah. No, I like
I'm
it
just letting you know.
I think
Thank
it's really
you.
Cool. Because I dedicated my family in the last book, and I'm like, okay.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Families are great.
But they're in the acknowledgments as well,
yeah.
So maybe I'll change it up.
But I think sometimes as humans, we need to be like, we feel pressured to always be giving people credit, and always, and that's very, very important, but sometimes we don't give enough credit to ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I agree.
At the end of the day, it's still you that did the thing.
I love it. Now you went to school and you started becoming less creative.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide that I need to kind of unleash my creativity again and bring this to the world, and how can I make a living?
Yes, I was doing it through a bunch of different things. In university, I did this thing where I started to bake cakes, like, you know, Cake Boss, Ace of Cakes type stuff. I know. And I was like, I'm going to be a baker now and do cakes. And that was me trying to be creative, make them look like a purse or make them look like something.
They had to be perfect.
They had – that also rarely happened, but I tried my best. And then it was – I was part of a dance team. I thought, okay, this is my creative outlet. I'm part of a dance team. But the thing that always held me back in any of those endeavors was the fact that I always felt my success was dependent on other people. So the dance team is the greatest example of that. In true Lily fashion, I was like, we're not just a dance team. No, no. We're going to take over the world through dancing. I want the biggest dance team. Right. I want the best dance team. I want all genres of dance being performed. I want the best costumes. And when you have 15 people on your team that are like,
We
just here to dance for 15 minutes. We ain't trying to have a dance empire taking over the world. And that used to frustrate me so much because I would be showing up at practice, putting in my own money, staying up. Exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned was that's not actually their fault. You know, people have different priorities and that's okay. It's my fault for trying to implement my priorities onto other people that simply did not have them. When I was in my last year of university, I discovered YouTube, which did not exist when I was younger. And I remember watching these videos thinking, there's people in their rooms making videos and people are watching them. Like, what is happening here? And there was a few creators in my community that, you know, had a few videos and I didn't really think anything of it. I thought it was just them. Yeah. Then when I went more into YouTube, I saw, no, people all over the world are making these videos and this is a thing. And I spontaneously one day put up a video online. I thought nothing of it. It was not even comedy. It was so far from who I am today. Mm-hmm. It was actually a spoken word piece about religion.
Yeah, I heard you took it down, right?
I took it down not because it sucked, because I have many sucky videos up. Yeah. I took it down because it just does not represent who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was so awkward. I was so uncomfortable in it. And as bad as it was, I just fell in love with the fact that I could write whatever I wanted, say whatever I wanted, edit it however I want, promote it however I want. And no person around me impacted that success. There was no one else I had to rely on. I learned how to do everything myself, and that I fell in love with. And so without thinking, I posted a second video that was comedy. It was based on a linguistics argument I had with my friend. And I posted another one. And then suddenly I found myself thinking, well, how can I get better? How can I learn how to edit more? How can I write better? Just like the fruit bowl, just like the fruit bowl. And then it snowballed into this brand and career.
It's amazing. Yeah. And do you still edit all your videos?
A few months ago, I do have an editor on board that helps
really?
Me.
Really? Just as a few months ago?
Yes. So for the past 6 or 7
Holy
years,
cow,
I know,
you're
which
crazy.
Is 6 or 7 years of me dressing up as different characters, moving my tripod,
it must
writing.
Take forever.
not only did it take forever, it got to a point where it wasn't enjoyable anymore because it's I played like so many characters and I shot and I edited myself.
And you wrote the scripts.
Everything. And so I remember shooting these videos
exhausting.
By myself, dressed in a beard, looking around like, what the hell am I doing with my life right now? Because I'm not having fun doing this and this should be a fun career. And that's why I decided to bring more people on my team. And now when I go on a shoot, I'm like, oh, I can do my job really well and have fun because having fun is important to continuing doing something. And not to mention my editor is better than me. You know, one of the things I've learned is that it is okay to be the dumbest on your team with some in respect to some things. Like, I'm really good at what I do, but I will not be as good of an editor as my editor. And so we work very, very collaboratively where I say, I want it to look like this. This is how I want. And he does that. And sometimes he adds his own flair, which is even better. But it's still me having the creative control, but someone executes it way better than I ever could.
And allows you to go relax or relax
or do more inspiration. Work. Or do more work. It allows me to do more
watch
work.
Watch a movie and get inspired.
Exactly.
I love your quote about, you already know this is going to be in the part of your book. We tried to do this game. It didn't work. The quote about the universe might respect the law of attraction, but it respects a good hustle even more. I really love that. Was there a point earlier when you weren't a hustler, or was it even when you were five, you were like always hustling? And then how do you sustain the hustle for people that feel like, man, that just seems exhausting?
Is there a point in my life where I was not a hustler? Yeah, it was that point of my life at the end of university when I was super sad.
Yeah.
That if anyone had met me during that time, they would not recognize me as who I am today. I literally got up at 3, I mean, I still wake up at 3 p.m. sometimes if I go to sleep really late. I'm just going to be honest. My sleep schedule is a hot mess. Right. But I had absolutely no goals. Mm. I woke up with no purpose. Literally Walker from The Walking Dead. Did not care. Didn't care to accomplish anything. I didn't care at all about how the fruit bowl looked.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I was a different person. But prior to that, I do got to say everything in my life when I look back, it's been this need to do my best. And the greatest example is I remember I used to work at Harvey's, which is a Canadian fast. I think your equivalent might be Hardee's.
Yes.
Here in America. I worked at, it was my first job at a fast food restaurant. And I remember there was downtime and the store was empty. And so I was like, okay, great. I'm going to refill the cutlery. And I was doing stuff. And it did not occur to me that everyone else was just chilling. They were just like
not
looking at me,
fill
these forks. And I remember hearing someone say this. And it was the most shocking thing I've ever heard. They were just like, you are just always got to do something. Like, you're always working. And I'm like, wait, are you guys not? And it was so shocking, but I didn't even realize that was a thing people did. Like, they just did not do something. And so I really think it's just something embedded within me that I haven't completely figured out why. Mm. It's just always been this need to do things and be productive.
Well, I mean, you look at the results. I mean, the results don't lie. You've generated certain results.
Nor do hips.
They do not.
You're right.
Do your hips lie?
Not at all.
Oh, all right.
Never.
Show me later.
Okay.
Like, do a little dance move. I mean, my results don't lie. And you've created specific results in your life because of this level of hustle and energy that's been consistent. And I think if people don't want to generate great results, then they can take a break and they can pause and, you know, not be productive in certain things consistently. Right. And they're going to get those type of results. So it all depends on what we want.
It all depends on what we want. And I think the danger of something I know people think after hearing this conversation is they think, well, that's very unhealthy. That's an unhealthy lifestyle balance. And people say that to me all the time. A lot of my friends are, you're always working. Just come out with us. And here's the thing. If I'm really honest, to have a certain level of success, I do believe you do have to be obsessed with it.
You have to be.
You know, you have
to
be obsessed with it.
You cannot win a championship at any sport at the highest level without being obsessed with it.
So it depends
24/7.
What your goals are.
Depends what it is.
If your goal is to be successful, but then also have weekends and also have a certain standard of relationship and have family. That's not wrong. That is your goal and you do that. But when people say that to me, my goals are I want to be exceptionally good at this one thing. And that is going to require a certain level of dedication. And that is the reality of the situation.
Obsessiveness.
Right? Obsessiveness.
All of your time involved.
Dwayne's a great example. Like obsessiveness, waking up at 4, working out, no matter where he is. Like that is an obsessive level of commitment.
And he gets incredible results.
Exactly.
But he wouldn't get those results without obsessiveness.
Exactly.
Without constantly creating and focusing on his health and building relationships and adding value to 100%. The world and being nice to people. He seems like one of the nicest guys, right?
He is the nicest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I know people are just like, oh, he's just nice to you. Maybe he's... No. I can write a whole scientifically proven book as to why he is the nicest person on the planet.
Why is he?
Okay, he's the nicest person for a few reasons. One is that he is actually, you know, when you talk about power, mm-hmm. there's many ways you could exercise power. You know, you could do dictatorship, like I control you, thus I am powerful, and I can make you do whatever I want, make the, all these rules. And we see these types of people in the world, and they, yeah. regardless of if we like it or not, they have power. Yeah. Another way to have power is to think, true power is how many people can I help accomplish what they want to do in life. That is a different way of looking at power. That's how he looks at power. And he does that through when he's in part of a movie or when he's talking to me or when he's talking to any of his friends. He does not say you, he says we. That's his thing. When the first time I ever had a heart-to-heart conversation with him, I remember telling him this whole situation about, you know, I call myself Superwoman, I have a deal with DC, and I told him this whole thing about how obviously 7 years ago I didn't think my YouTube channel would be so popular, so I stupidly called myself Superwoman, not realizing it's right. trademarked. And I remember, I'll never forget his response, which was, I definitely think we should try branding more towards Lily Singh, and I think we should do. And then he caught himself, and he said, keeps saying we, obviously it's you, but it's just, you know, we. Like, and he was just so invested. And if you look at his movies, he's not the producer of all of them, he's not the director right. of all of them, but right. he always in his captions like, we've done what we can to put on the best movie for you, because he understands that is
it's
the
a team.
More positive yeah. way of using power.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. If it's all you, it's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's very selfish, I think.
Exactly.
I try to make it about a group of people. And I know that yeah. there's no way, even I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger doing a speech about this for a commencement speech. Whether you like him or not, or agree with him or not, he was like, there's no such thing as a self-made man. He's like, there are thousands of people that helped me to get to where I'm at. And it doesn't matter what I've accomplished. There's so many people on the team who've supported right. it. So we've got to think about the team, the people you surround yourself with and who support you.
Yeah. Dwayne is all about that. That's probably the greatest lesson right? I've learned. To be honest, I was bad at that. I will call myself
up fully.
You wanted
to do it all yourself and have control. And
yes. And I was not good at delegating. And also, I did have this internal battle when I moved to LA where I was like, wait, so many people need a cut of the money I make? That was a huge issue.
I'm experiencing this right now. Yeah. It's like 10% here, being, 5% for
that's
lawyers.
That's me being really 10% honest.
10% for business manager.
I was like, 100% of me is in front of the camera. Wow, y'all getting 10% of everything that happened.
I know, right?
And that was a struggle I had. And I remember sending Dwayne this email asking for his advice. And he said something that really changed my mind. He said, listen, everyone brings their expertise to the table, and therefore everyone deserves a cut. And that's how you will get greater results. And
that's
true. Blindly trusted him because I was like, okay, if Dwayne says it, it must be true.
It's so true. I was resistant to certain things. You know, this whole year I've been getting more and more people kind of courting with the results that we're getting and the brand that we're building. And I'm like, I've always done the business deals myself and negotiated every contract and speaking fees and partnerships and sponsorships. I was like, I've been negotiating it since I was getting $100 a sponsorship to where I'm at now. And it's like, I don't need someone else to do that for me. I'm good at this, you know? But the more I'm realizing, like, and the more people I talk to who have bigger brands, they're like, you just need the team. You need the team. If you want to elevate it to a whole other level, you got to remove yourself from some things.
Right, exactly. Because it goes back to you're really good at it, but are you as good as the person who that's their sole
job? It's
like
your editor too.
Exactly.
You're pretty good at it.
Exactly.
But he's a little better and it gives you time to do other things, right?
Exactly. That's the smartest decision you can make is understanding you're not the smartest at something and get someone who's smart to do that thing.
But you're pretty smart at a lot of things.
I'm pretty decent at editing, but could I do the things that editor does? Absolutely not.
Right. What do you think you need to let go of in your life in order to get to the next level for yourself? You're already number one influencer in the world. You're already one of the top three highest paid YouTubers of all time. You're already
Since the beginning of time, you're already in a world.
Yes, you're already a number one New York Times bestselling author. You're already doing music and tours and dancing and taking over the world. What do you need to let go of, and who do you need to step into in order to get to your next level?
Something, and this is quite specific to what I do, something I need to let go of that I think a lot of people would be shocked to know it actually does impact me is I don't necessarily make content completely for views. You know, and I think my vlog channel is a great testament to that. My vlogs don't get a lot of views, and I've always told myself that's
not a lot?
Okay, so yes, let me put this into perspective. So my main channel in half a day should get 1 million views, a video. My vlog channel, a good vlog in 24 hours will get 150K. So it's significantly less. It's a second channel. It's not scripted. It's me going through my day, being myself. If people want to watch it, great. And I have a rule for myself that I refuse to orchestrate drama into my day for my vlogs. I just am not going down that path.
Yes.
And so something I need to let go of is that, even though I make content I really believe in and I think is funny, and you can ask my team, I'll sometimes be reading my my scripts and watching my videos, and I'll be laughing at my own jokes, and like, you're such funny. A nerd. And I'm like, but I'm so funny. And no one else is laughing. That's fine. But the challenge is that I have kind of been this very fast growing channel and done really well for myself. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people that surpass me in terms of views. Mm-hmm. There are going to be videos that don't do as well. And even though I know in my heart when I'm writing a script, I'm not thinking about, okay, this will get 2 million views. The struggle is that when you post things online, that's the only measure we have, mm-hmm. right? I don't have a live audience.
Results.
Exactly. I care less about that when it's live. Of course, I still want the place to be sold out, but when it's not sold out and there's still 200 people that are screaming, that still feels like, oh, a message is getting across. The problem with online is the views are the only measure we have.
Comments, views, likes, subscribes.
But I can't even read through every comment. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so there's
thousands.
No way, if there was a sea of positive comments that would make me feel like this video had a great message, I wouldn't be able to get through them all. The quickest number I can see is the view count. And so what I need to let go of is that view count actually validating what my content is. Because I don't want to be the person that makes content just for views. I want to be the person that makes content that gets people like Dwayne to be like, "That's I want to work with you." Mm. That's the content I want to make.
Yeah.
I want to make content where Stephanie McMahon, when I was obsessed with WWE, she's like, "Yes, I'll do a collab with you." And Little Lily's like, "Yes, I'm glad you made this video." That's what I want to drive me. But it's been such a challenge because there's no analytic for that. There's only an analytic for the views. And so I need to really let go of that somehow.
And it's like a long-term game. It's like I'm creating content that maybe in a few years someone will see and inspired and they want to partner with me, or we want to do a project together that's actually more important than 10 million views on any video.
Yeah, and I do really believe, I genuinely believe this when I say it. It's just hard to implement every day again because there's no statistic. But the greatest thing that could ever come from me doing what I do is that years from now, if there was someone that accomplished great things, like someone who freed people, who got equal rights, someone who even became like some sort of world leader. And if ever in an interview they were like, you know, I used to watch this girl, Lily, and she really inspired me. That is like really true, I think, inspiration and power, and what I would want to accomplish. Mm. Because it's not only about my success, it's about everyone who might be inspired by that. But there's no statistic for that, so
that's
it's
tough.
Hard.
Yeah, it's tough. Who's the most inspirational person in the world for you right now?
Huh. The most inspirational person in the world for me right now, with fear of sounding redundant, it's going to be Dwayne.
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be. Of course, my mom is there. Of course, there's many other people in my family that inspire me. But the particular way Dwayne has inspired me, I think, is so unique. I think it's like a one in a billion story of the summary would be growing up obsessed with Dwayne. Like, his pictures were all over my wall. My email address was therock85@hotmail.com. In school, I vividly remember winning a contest, and on the announcements to the school, it said Lily the Rock sing. Like, everyone knew I was obsessed with The Rock, okay? And so my whole entire life was just loving this guy. I started making YouTube videos. I grew up, and I'm still a huge fan, but maybe a less fanatic fangirl.
Yeah.
And I used to make a lot of comments about him in my videos, you know? Talk a lot about him, make jokes about him, and not knowing his daughter was watching my videos. And so through whatever fate and stars aligning, Dwayne has become my mentor and friend, and that's a rarity in life. Few people can say my absolute role model is someone I can call and ask for advice from.
Crazy.
Like, few people can say that. And a lot of people would say that's scary because a lot of times when you meet people, they're not who you expect them to be.
But he was.
Dwayne
you.
Is so above and beyond who I ever expected him to be. And what that has taught me is that everything you learn about, before I even got an ounce of fame, I was so guilty of being one of those people that's like, celebrities are stuck up, they're rich, they don't got problems. All these basic mentality things people say on Twitter to me, you know, I used to think that. I used to think there's no way a celebrity actually cares about people. Dwayne proved me so damn wrong. And I remember just having a heart-to-heart with him saying, you have actually convinced me that you can be so successful in such a cutthroat industry but still be the nicest person. And I did not think that combination was possible at all. I did not think. I thought it was all a facade, but it is not. You do not have to be a jerk to be good at business. You do not have to be rude to get your point across. And Dwayne proves that. And that's why I value, as I mentioned in the book, being nice so much, because I do think it is an ingredient in the recipe to success.
Yeah. Wow. What's the biggest lesson he's taught you then?
The biggest lesson he's taught me, I mean, there, amongst many, business-wise, something he said to me that's always stuck with me is he said to me, you know, when I was in football and I tried to go to wrestling.
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technology like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Everyone was like, okay, now you're going to be a wrestler. Then he got really, really great at wrestling. And when he left the WWE, he went into acting. And again, people said to him, now you're going to be a wrestler. Goes into acting. Like, we've seen this attempted before. It didn't work out too well. And then he got into movies. And after movies, he decided to do Ballers, which is a show.
I love that show.
People said to him, movie stars don't do TV shows. That is not the path people go. And
it's like going backwards or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And he was like, well, we're going to buck tradition then. He's like, you make up your own rules about what that path is going to be. And that was always really inspirational to me as someone who went from psychology to I'm going to make YouTube videos to actually I want to act and sometimes I want to do music and I want to write a book and I don't want to limit myself because if no one else is taking that path, I'll make that path then. Yeah. And that's what he's done.
Amazing. Amazing.
This is just basically episode 1 of Lily fangirling about Dwayne The Rock Johnson here of a 12-part series that could happen.
What is your vision next for you then? What's the scariest thing that you want to go after for yourself? If you could achieve anything.
If I could achieve anything.
If you could write it down and it's going to happen, anything you want, what would that be?
I want to be, I'm just going to be blunt. I want to be a very big star. I'm going to say that. And I know.
Bring it, girl.
Yeah. And I know sometimes people think like, that's what you want to be. I want to be a big star because, you know, one of the greatest things about what I do is that I can actually do things for people. You know, I can make a video that can inspire someone. Even through money, I can help my friends if they need help. If I need to help with a project, I can do that. If I need to promote something, a cause I really believe, I can do that. I want to be a big star, not just because I want to be in movies and I believe in the art of acting and I want to tell great stories, but I think with the more stardom I have, I believe in my heart, I could help more people. You know, I want to be that person that's like, I'm going to walk a red carpet and then tomorrow I'm going to go and with an organization I'm working with, we're going to go to this village in Kenya I admire and I'm going to build schools without giving it a second thought because I can do that. That's what I want to do. I don't want to just lie and say, I just want to help people. Of course I do. But I also want to do it because I am a great actress or a great musician. I'm really great at something and that greatness has led to me being able to help people. That's what I want.
I love it.
I don't just want to help people through an inheritance or anything. Not that anything's wrong with that, but I want to feel like I'm really good at something, and because of that, I'm able to help people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a selfish motive, but one I want to share with other people.
Sure. What's your biggest fear if that happens? Are you afraid of it all?
Oh, I'm so afraid. Half of my life is being afraid, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I think every day I step out of my comfort zone. And there are some days where I'm like, shut up, Lily. Just have a day where you just sit on your couch.
You're safe.
And you're safe. And you're not doing a speech. And you're not in front of a camera. And you just get to be crappy. Let yourself be crappy. Yeah. And I think every day, whether it's podcasts or whether it's auditions or whether it's panels or whatnot, it's always some element of stepping out of my comfort zone, preparing for something, getting mentally ready for something. And I'm scared that that's going to take a toll, because even now I don't consider myself, I mean, Forbes can say whatever they want, I don't consider myself this huge, massively, massively influential person. I think I influence a certain amount of people, and that's great. But I'm scared that my career is going to go upwards, and I'm going to not be able to feel the same way as I feel right now speaking to you. Mm. That it's going to take such a toll on me that I'm going to think,
really?
Yeah, it is a valid fear. And I know reality enough to say that. I'm no longer that naive person that's like, I'm going to respond to every message I get and every bit of fan mail, and I'm never going to say no to a picture, and I am always going to be a positive, happy person. That's not possible. It's not possible. And I know that now sitting here today, Azalee, but I'm 5 years from now. What else will I learn that isn't possible?
I'm sure you've seen The Rock too. I'm sure he would love to take a photo with everyone, but when there's 20,000 people outside his hotel room.
When there's 20,000 people,
like,
also,
I got to get to work.
And exactly. And where do you draw that line? And so I've just learned so many things that 3 years ago I didn't know. And so the fear is that 3 years from now, what will I know that I don't know now that will change whatever I'm saying right now?
What are you more afraid of, being the most relevant person in the world or being irrelevant?
I'm going to say it currently, Lily, her answer, the fear would be being irrelevant. And I say that because I'm in this really interesting gray area where I have a lot of fame online, but I still go into auditions and they're like, I'm sorry, what was your name again? You know what
I
mean?
You're like, uh-oh.
I'm caught in between two worlds.
Ego check.
Yeah. So I have celebrity, but then sometimes I'll go to events and people will not care at all about who I am. And it's like this area of, like, I have really, sometimes I'll have dinner with my celebrity friends and I'll have a conversation, and then I know I can't have that same conversation with some of my friends, not because they're better or worse, but because, like, you won't relate to anything. I don't want to be that douchebag that's having a dinner with my friends being like, oh my god, so the thing I hate about First Class is you know, I don't want to have that conversation where I'm like, oh my god, so, like, I went outside and there was like hundreds of fans, and then, because I don't want that my friend to be like, can we even have a conversation about But who's to blame there? Because that is my reality. You know, that I'm not trying to put on a facade. That's the real things I experience. Yeah. And that always gets to me, because I'm like, oh, I never want to be so up here that I can't come down here and have a conversation with anyone. I want to be able to have a conversation with anyone. So I want to maintain that. And there's a fear of me making a video of my fans being like, I can't relate to this. What you're telling us is so irrelevant to me.
Yeah. What do you think about the most during your days?
You want to know a thought I have every single day? It's so ridiculous. Yeah. At least once a day, I have a thought where it's just, if I had a superpower, it would be to pause time so I could take a nap. Once a day, I have this thought. I just would love to pause time, take a nap right here on this desk, and then just resume, and you wouldn't even know. You know what I mean? I think about that a lot. I also think about during my day, I'm obsessed with productivity, like I said. So, you know, I have a chapter in my book that is about problem solving everything from small problems to very large problems. So something like, oh, what am I stressed about right now? My phone is dead. Great. I'm going to come up with 3 solutions as to how this cannot stress me tomorrow. And so throughout my day, I'm always picking up little things that have slowed me down. Mm. I use this analogy a lot of Mario and Mario Kart. Yes. And so I always consider my day a race. You can call it unhealthy, but I think it's fun and cute. And so what banana peels did I deal with? I'm always going to address the next day. And so during the day, I'm always thinking of those things, of what slowed me down and what I can improve on.
Mm. What's the thing you're most proud of that maybe most people don't know about you?
What am I most proud of? I am proud that in the vast amount of priorities you can have in a day and in life, being, or at least trying and valuing being, a kind person is still very high on my priority list. And I think it's easy when you're on set, or it's easy when you have so many people working for you. It's easy to not care about that. You know, it is. And I almost, I don't want to give people a pass when they're rude on set. I don't think it's right, but I could see how they think that's okay, because I'll go onto a set and people will cater to me left, right, and center in a ways where I'm almost uncomfortable with, because I'm like, no, like, treat me like a human.
Yeah.
I've seen, if I'm even having a bad day and I might come across rude, no one calls me out on it. No one will be like, that's not right, unless I do it myself.
Yeah.
And so I can see how when you're constantly around that environment, you might be like, I'm allowed to do this and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm proud that I still call myself out on crap, you know, and I hope that maintains. Like, an example is yesterday, not to toot my own horn, but yesterday I realized that I have a shooter and he's a phenomenal shooter, filmmaker. Mm-hmm. But we butt heads a lot on set because he's fixated on these minor lighting details that I could care less about because I don't see them because my eye is not trained to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'll always be like, kind of, hurry up, we need to shoot. Yeah. And so I called myself out on that. I was like, well, you know, his intentions are to make this the best thing. And so I had to have a talk with him. I was like, I'm sorry if I was like being a little bit of a jerk to you. I get where your intentions are and I'll try to work on it.
Right.
And I'm proud that I'm able to see that, because very few times will anyone else call me out on that.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to be a nice person. I don't want to lose
you are a nice person.
Thank you.
Keep it though.
I want to maintain. I am one of those people, call it naive or not, that believes that compassion and kindness can actually change the world.
Yeah.
I really do believe that.
What's the question you wish more people would ask you?
I wish more people would ask me, and we spoke about this a bit before we started recording, what is something you were blatantly wrong about? What are something that you believe that you don't believe right now? Because I think when people look at journeys of people, they think they're very like this, but really they're like this and like this and like this and like this. And there's a lot of things I've changed my mind about, you know, and there's a lot of things I've learned, and there's even times where I've eaten my words where I'm like, oh, that's not right at all. I don't believe that. And so I wish people would dissect those elements of my story a bit more, because those are the parts people actually need to learn from, you know, is that you will change and grow as a person. And that is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I ask the final few questions, do you guys have one? Anything come up for you? Anything I missed?
You want me to repeat it?
Okay,
Tiff,
great. Tiff asked a question.
All right. Tiff asked a great, phenomenal question, which was, you know, as a woman of color, has that impacted my journey? Am I aware of it? And how has that been in general, I think, with the trajectory of my career? It's interesting. It's kind of multifaceted in a lot of ways, because I'm aware I'm a woman of color, you know, I take a shower every day, I'm aware. But when things happen, you know, when I write a book, or when I achieve things, and people say, well, how does it feel as a woman of color? I'm like, I wasn't really thinking of it as a woman of color in that moment. You know, I wasn't accepting an award being like, well, with brown skin and a vagina, I think, you know, but then sometimes I do. So it's kind of an on and off relationship where I'm aware. And I made a post about this where I'm aware that, especially doing things online, do I face a lot of really intense sexism with opportunities? I don't think so. I don't think I get less opportunities on YouTube because I'm a woman. That's a great thing about the digital space. I think that's a great example for Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's no casting director in front of the upload button. You know, the number one influencer is the woman, you know? And I think a lot of other industries could take notes, just saying. But at the same time, do I face sexism in other ways? Of course. Of course, there's the YouTube comments that are like, make me a sandwich, do that. But at a deeper level, when I make, for example, one of my most hated videos or disliked videos is why I don't need a relationship. That is one of my most disliked videos.
Clickbait. Yeah.
It is me ranting about all the reasons I don't think I need a boyfriend. I don't want a boyfriend.
Yeah.
It is the same type of humor as a video I would make called 5 things I love about relationships. It's the same type of wittiness. It's the same everything. The only difference is I'm saying why I don't think I need a relationship. Comments. You are so stuck up. You are one of those girls that just thinks you're better than everybody. So what? You're so independent. This is why I hate feminism. Wow. And that's the type of sexism I deal with. Whereas if I have a strong viewpoint about something, or I'm really direct about something, I will more often be called rude and harsh than some, perhaps, not for sure, perhaps if my male counterpart would have done it.
Sure.
And I think that's consistent across a lot of industries, which is a strong point of view is not perceived in the same type of epicness if a female did it as if a male did it.
Got
and
it.
So I do deal with that a lot. But otherwise, I've always said, as a woman of color, My one line is, I can make a billion videos about why racism is wrong and why sexism is wrong. And I have a few, you know, when I'm feeling sassy, I have a few. But I know the most impactful way to challenge that is to be the most successful woman of color I can be.
Amen.
You know, that's when people see me on a billboard, that will probably speak way more volumes than me making a 5-minute video explaining to people that probably won't listen anyways,
right,
as to why racism and sexism is wrong.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Do you have one? Christine is asking, in the first 2 years when you knew what you were doing but other people didn't understand it, what kept fueling you when you had other things to do with your time?
Right. I think it was definitely that challenge of, I don't know anything about this world. Because I might have known more than my parents, but I also didn't know a lot about YouTube. I was like, what are an analytics? You know, I was like, what are these things? Right. How? I had no idea. With dance, I had an idea. Mm. You know, I was like, I know I have to do this, I have to choreograph. This is how long this is. With YouTube, I had no idea. This is a brand new thing I had to learn about. Every part of it I had to learn about. I think that challenge really drove me to be like, well, maybe you can learn about this. Maybe you can make your own rules. Right? It was also me. I had summer jobs and part-time jobs growing up forever. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to make YouTube my career, even though no one else understood, to this day, people are like, you get paid off making videos, right? That's what excited me. It was the, oh, so I can make my own rules. I don't have to get up at 9. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to punch in and out. I don't have to listen to what someone else is telling me to. I can make my own rules. And that really excited me. Mm. And maybe it was the idea that no one really understood it that drove me further, because I could be like, I'm going to make you understand now.
Right, right.
And you know, that's exciting, because it's exciting to say that my parents, people who did not get the internet, now can confidently speak about the digital space in YouTube. And that's through me educating them about that. And that's awesome.
I think it took me like 8 years until my family finally figured out what I was doing.
Yeah,
they were still like, they're like, how you have money and how are you, what is this? They just didn't understand it. They're like, what?
The proudest moment, one of the proudest moments I've ever had. Sorry, am I talking too much?
Okay. Good.
One of the proudest moments, they're like, we can just deal with it in the edit. One of the proudest moments I've ever had was, you know, for years I was like, every Monday and Thursday I'm making videos. Mm-hmm. I lived with my parents for a really, really long time up until I was 26. And I had to make videos while living in their house. And so they didn't always get why I needed to be quiet and why they couldn't yell on the phone and why I needed costumes and needed this. And one of the proudest moments was, I remember one Thursday, my dad was like, Lily, I need you to go somewhere with me to the bank. And my mom, before I even answered, she's like, she can't, you know it's Thursday. And I was like, wow. Oh my goodness, you are valuing
she
what I do
me.
As a thing that needs to be prioritized. And I will always remember that, because I was like, you get it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Final couple questions.
Okay.
This is called the three truths.
Okay.
So imagine that this is the last video you're ever going to put up.
Oh my God.
I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. And the answer you give is the last video that you get to put up.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, every other video and book and thing you've done is erased. So this is just one video left to the world.
Got it.
Of your message. Mm-hmm. It's called The Three Truths. And imagine that everyone turned on their computer or their phone and they're watching this video live. And it'll be recorded, but they'll watch it live and they can understand you.
Sounds great so far.
So they're listening, they're watching you live as you're going to answer this. Okay. What would you say are your three truths? The three things you've learned about your entire life, the lessons that you would want to share with the world as your final video, your three truths?
One would definitely be, there is very seldom right and wrong. There is more often different. And a lot of our problems would be resolved in life if we understood that. Mm. Another would be, in a lot of issues in the world and in life and in comedy and in anything you do in life can often be divided into two solutions. One is courage and love, and the other is fear and hate. If you dissect most of life's issues, they fall into those two categories. Fear and hate is always easier. Love and courage is always harder. Love and courage will more likely be worth the fight of it being harder. And the last thing I would say is, no one has it figured out. We're all making it up as we go along. So make it up as best as you can.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Those are great.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Lily, for your incredible courage to go after something of the unknown, but to tap into the young girl that you once were, which was being creative, being fun, trying new things, making mistakes, and figuring it out as you went.
Thank you.
You inspire so many people around the world who watch, come to your events, who read your book, and I just think you're an incredible inspiration.
Thank you.
And so talented and so giving of your heart. So I acknowledge you for your consistent dedication every single day to be the best that you want to be, because you're inspiring people in that journey.
That's very sweet. Thank you so much. And I do have to commend you, because before we started this, you said, what would make this the best podcast is if you talked about things you've never talked about. And I definitely did that. I feel like this is one of the best things I've ever done, to be honest. So if we could just promote this everywhere.
Drop the mic.
I'm just going to promote it everywhere, because I really think these conversations were really dope. Digging deep and being so open and receptive. Yeah. It was really, really great.
It's powerful.
Thank you.
Final question.
Yes.
Before I ask it, I want to make sure everyone goes to get the book, How to Be a Boss, A Guide to Conquering Life. And to follow you, subscribe, where's the best places they should go?
Yes, you can go at youtube.com/LillySing, LillySingh. And my socials for everything else are I Superwoman II, because...
Why'd you do that?
I didn't know what a trademark was 7 years ago.
Got it. Yes. Why didn't you use your personal name then?
Why did I use for YouTube?
Why didn't I? Didn't you use it for Instagram?
Because
or
7 years ago, 7 years ago, everything was I Superwoman II. Even YouTube is I Superwoman. I just have multiple URLs that work.
Got it.
But 7 years ago, I was like, oh, I really liked that hip hop song by Lil Mo and Fabulous, and I used to call myself Superwoman well before making YouTube videos. It's like, oh, this is gonna be a fun little side project. Let me do Superwoman.
Sure. Have you ever thought about changing it to your name?
Dwayne wants us to, so we'll see. I haven't decided yet, but I'm trying to call myself Lily more and more, though.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So, guys, go get the book. You're not on tour anymore. It's tour's over.
I have one more stop in Trinidad, but after that, it's done. Yeah.
It's done. Mm-hmm. But follow her. Watch her videos. They're hilarious. Watch the one of her in the shower recently, which is hilarious.
And also, any of my fans who are here for the first time, please make sure you follow Lewis as well, because you won't regret it.
Appreciate it. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is to excel at whatever you think is a value to excel in without having to pull anyone or anything else back. It is to move forward while bringing everything else around you in forward momentum as well.
You're a boss. Liz Singh.
Takes one to know one.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you have it, guys. If you enjoyed this, if you were inspired by this, if you got some inspiration and you learned some things, then make sure to share this with your friends, lewishouse.com/506. Tweet out some of the tweetables that are on the show notes right there. You can watch the full video interview at the show notes as well on YouTube. Make sure to tag Lily, tag myself on social media. Let us know what you think about it. Let us know what you're learning, what you're gaining from this experience, and share this with your friends. The way that we grow is by sharing. Sharing is caring. Let's do this, guys. And if you enjoyed this, make sure to leave a review of this episode over on iTunes. Just click on the podcast app that you're listening to or online on iTunes and leave a review at the School of Greatness podcast for your chance to be one of the reviews of the week. And to finish this, Pablo Picasso said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is staying an artist when you grow up." Guys, use your creativity. Allow yourself to play, adventure, create something magical in the world. Don't just stay stuck in a life and a path that you don't love. Start doing things that bring your unique experience, your unique heart, your gifts to the world. Create, design, explore, adventure. You got this. I got your back, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.